This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you all. Thanks for being here this morning. Good morning to everyone who's in parents' room or joining us online, wherever it is that you are this morning. It's so good to have you here. And I count it such a great privilege to be talking to you all. And I don't speak to you as a pastor, but as a brother, because it's a privilege because this is my family in faith, and I'm so glad to do life with you guys, especially these junior youth guys. It's good to see you, Noah, Raph, Ebony, the whole crew, and Sam, Tilly, and Lucy. Thanks for leading them so well. I'd like to consider it. I'm the youth pastor, but I'd like to consider that this isn't them joining us this morning, but you guys are actually joining the junior youth service this morning, so we're going to have a bit of fun. But as Matt said, we've been in this series in the book of Romans, and we're going to open up Romans 12 today and dig through the scripture together and see what it means for us. And if you're taking notes, the title to this message you can put down is that it's from the inside out. That's what Romans 12 is about, from the inside out. And so I'd love to pray with you guys, if you could pray with me, and then we can get into it. Father, thank you so much for this morning that we get to gather as a community, that we get to be a community that has you at the center. Lord, as we sang before, you are holy. You are holy, Lord. We recognize who you are in our life. You are worthy to be praised. And God, we tune our ears in to hear from you this morning. So Lord, I just pray, I put this service into your hands. I say, have your way. Lord, speak. Let your voice be heard. Anything from me, let it fall to the ground. Pray all of this in Jesus, your mighty and powerful name. Amen. 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 Well, November 23rd in 1970, Cat Stevens released a song called Wild World. Some of you might know it. Some of you, who knows Cat Stevens in here? Does anyone know? Okay, sweet. Okay, a couple Cat Stevens fan. I'll be honest, I didn't really know Cat Stevens, but my wife loves like 70s, 80s music. So she introduced me. But she released this song. Yeah. He released this song called Wild Worlds. And it goes a bit like this. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. Da-da-da-da-da-dum. It's hard to get by just upon a smile. Da-da-dum, da-da-dum. That's all I'm going to give you. Yep, you can take it, you can leave it. Too kind. We'll open up karaoke after the service. But yeah, Cat Stevens released this song. You know, in 3 weeks' time, it's going to be 55 years old. And yet, the lyrics in this song ring true today. In fact, even more so true, perhaps. Because when we look outside, when we look, we're in November now, and it feels like the year's raced by, but it's been a wild year, and it's a wild world that we live in. I'm not sure what it might have looked like for you. I'm not sure what's happened this year. Maybe there's been some beautiful moments. We've got some families in here who have had babies this year, who have celebrated new life. We've got people in here who have got engaged. Maybe there are people in your life where relationships have broken down, where there's been a bit of heartbreak, or you've walked through something different and challenging that you've never faced before. It's a wild world that we live in. And I thought that it would be pretty fun for us to take a look at some of the wild facts that I found out, news from this year. So is everyone ready to hear some news? Yeah. I wonder if anyone knew any of this stuff before me, because I had to do some research for this. So let's see how we go. So in New York, scientists have actually found out that rats have changed how they communicate with each other. So they've adapted their language to an urban landscape. So it means that when they're in the tunnels, they're no longer doing the usual chatter. They're doing a high-pitched, loud voice. It's almost like rats having city slang. So rats are evolving. We found out that this year we actually inherited a new moon. So the Earth, it's a small one. It's only a couple meters wide, but it's been locked into Earth's gravity. And so we have a second moon now. 2025, we got a second moon. And I don't know about you guys, I've been a victim to this. AI has developed so much this year, I feel like. We're seeing all these like Sora 2 videos, and it's like, is this real? Is this AI? Like, now everything you see online, you gotta like question it. It's like, how real is this thing? We also have, and this, some of the younger guys will maybe know more about this, but yesterday, I don't know if you noticed in the news, they talked about how 6-7 is the word of the year. Dictionary Online has decided that 6-7 is the word of the year, which I don't understand. I don't know if you guys have heard the reference or know about. I don't even know what it means. These guys get it. It's not even a word. It's two words, and it's not even two words. It's two numbers, but it's the word of the year. So, hey, then we've got, and this might split the room or it might be a collective celebration, but this year at the start of the year, the Montrose intersection was finished. How good were we? How good? All right, good. It's wild world, a wild world. We've got rats evolving, new moons popping up. It's a wild world that we live in, and it's pretty easy for us to be able to see it. It doesn't take much intelligence to look outside your window and be like, oh my goodness, it's pretty wild out there. Like, things are getting pretty crazy. And, you know, as the prolific poet said in 2011, Jay-Z, there's no church in the wild. So what does that mean for us? Because I don't know if you noticed this, but we're in a church right now. You're joining online. We are a church, but we live in a wild world. So what does that mean for us? And that's exactly the question that was on the mind of the Romans. See, they lived in this context that it was the peak of society, the pinnacle of society, this diverse mixing pot of cultures, ideas, thoughts, people. And in the middle of all of that, you have this church that should be an example to the community on unity, on love, but they were getting caught up on the things that differed, the things that separated them. And so what should have been such a great example of unity was actually just caught up in division. So that's the context that Paul was speaking into and that we're going to be looking at today. Now, I've been to Bible college. That's why I have jumped on board as the youth pastor. I've done a bit of training and they gave me a tip in Bible college. So I'm going to give you this one for free. When you read the Bible, and as we're about to do, if we open up to Romans 12, the first word that we read is therefore. A good thing to do is when there's a therefore, find out what the therefore is there for, and then you'll be able to understand the whole context a lot better. And so when we read the therefore, it's because Paul is addressing the fact that the reason why there is division in this community is that there are two groups of people located. There are the Gentiles and there are the Jews. The Jews who have grown up knowing God, in relationship with God, but for them, so much of that relationship has been ruled by the rules and the traditions that they're used to and accustomed to. For the Gentiles, they've come up from the grassroots of Roman society. They have been born and raised in this city. They know the local language, but they've come to find the same revelation the Jews did, that Jesus is Lord. And so these two groups have both found Jesus, but their worlds and their lives look very different. That's the cause of the tension. And so what Paul talks about leading up to Romans 12 is the fact that what unites us isn't our context, our the unique things about us, but what unites us is the invitation. And that's my first point for this morning. There is an invitation in Romans for us all. And the reason why this is so applicable to us today is because if you look around this room, we are a mixed bag of unique people. I'm not sure what your story has looked like. I don't know what your life has looked like, your journey. Maybe you've grown up in this context. Maybe you've grown up in our church. Maybe you're born into a Christian family. Maybe you understand scripture really well. You've been brought up soaked in the word. You understand phrases like sanctification, or you understand the meaning of Jesus's death. Or maybe you're new to this context. Maybe you've been brought up in the surrounding community and you haven't been surrounded by Christians. Or maybe even you've been grown up in a different church. For me, my journey started in a Presbyterian church. And so when I first stepped in this building, I was like, where are the hymn books at? Like, what's going on? And so I don't know what your story is, but for each of us, it looks different. There's a unique story, a unique context. But we all live in the same world. We live in this world that is crazy and is wild. And it has impacted and shaped us on the way. And so Paul is addressing the fact that, yes, we are all different. Yes, we all have unique lives. But the thing that unites us is that God sees that we live in a wild world. He sees that there is something broken within this world. And he hasn't left it. He's not sitting on the throne going, all right, well, this is a mess. You guys figure it out, sort it out. No, He's actually recognized the hurt, the pain, the suffering, the hard things that we face, the problems in the world. And he looked at it and his heart was broken and he inserted himself into that story. And he's been doing that. When we look at the Bible, we see that from the very beginning, he's been working towards restoration. He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on us. He hasn't gone, it's too far. No, he even took upon him blood and flesh, came down to earth, was put upon a cross, was abandoned, betrayed, and crucified, and then rose again because he's doing something about the problem in this world. And he gives us this invitation. We can choose to accept him for who he is, accept what he did, acknowledge that there is actually a solution to this problem in the world. And that's the invitation that we each get and the thing that unites all of us. All of us, when we admit it, we recognize that we fall short. But that's okay. God doesn't look at us and condemn us or hold it against us. He goes, no, it's all right. Like, there's an invitation. I want to do this journey with you. I want to help you. Here, let me show you the way. That's what unites us all. So there is an invitation for each of us. And, you know, Matt said before that when we journey with God, as we draw close to God, he draws close to us. And I want to ask you this morning, take a look back. What has the last couple of hours been? What did your morning look like? What did your week look like? Are you drawing near to God? What does your relationship with God look like? It's a unique and a private relationship. No one else in the room knows what's going on. So what does your relationship look like with God right now? Where do you sit with that invitation? But the controversial thing here is that while we're all connected through this invitation and this decision, how it's going to be expressed, our faith, how it's outworked, it's going to look different. It's going to be challenging when we see it look different. And see, it's not just, our faith isn't just something where we go, all right, well, when times are hard, I can call upon God and he can be a solution to my problem. Because when we look at him like that, we go, all right, God, like, I'll just seek you. You're something that helps me with my life. You serve me. And then all of a sudden, when things don't go our way, we go, well, where are you, God? Have you abandoned me? Have you left me? See, we can fall into this mindset of our relationship with God is just to serve us. But the truth is, no, the invitation isn't something that's just about solving your problems. It's about joining in with God's story of restoration and playing a part in restoring the world. I'm not going to tell you that life's going to be perfect or easy, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be so much better and you're going to have purpose in your life if you spend it serving the Lord. It's good. We see it written on the wall as we walk in. This is good news for us. Every heart can be found in Jesus' story, in what he's doing. So that brings us to the second point. There's an implication attached to this invitation. As we open up to Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, we see it here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is your true and proper worship. See, it's fantastic for us to be able to sing about how holy God is, but we need that to be reflected and echoed out in how we live and how we act. There's an implication with the invitation for us to be able to play a part in this world. And that only happens when we start by taking a look at ourselves. As we start to address, all right, yeah, this world is wild, but also there are parts in my heart that are a bit wild too. There are some things that maybe I need to address. There are some ways in my thinking that Holy Spirit is drawing attention to, is challenging. As I open up scripture, as I read, I see things pointed out where I'm like, my life doesn't line up with this. So you can accept the invitation, but it's up to you whether or not you want to change after that. And that change is what God is wanting for you. Because as we become more like him, we find the good life. There's a story that I really love I came across a few years ago. It's known as the parable of the unknown monk. is a figure lost to history, but he has this fantastic parable for us. When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it was difficult to change the world. So I tried to change my nation. When I found I couldn't change my nation, I began to focus on my town. When that was too much for me, I couldn't change my town. As an older man, I tried to change my family. Now, as an old man, I realize the only thing I can change is myself. And suddenly I realize that if long ago I had changed myself, then perhaps I could have changed, had an impact on my family. My family could have made an impact on my town. Their impact could have changed the nation, and I could indeed have changed the world. See, so often we can find ourselves looking at the news or seeing friendship groups or other people in their lives and be frustrated about what's going on and wish that we could, there was a change, that there was something done, that we could be the person who changes it. But it's not often enough that we take a look inward first and go, well, what is it in me? If everyone in the world lived like me, what would be the problem that they would be looking at? Going, man, I wish we fixed this. We got to start with that change inward. When we do that, that's when all of a sudden we're able to have a bigger impact. We align ourselves with God's story, with what he's doing. So I want to ask you this morning, what's shaping your mindset? What's forming you right now? What are you looking to? Now, it would be easy for us to look at that and go, all right, cool. So the change has to start with me from the inside. So I'm just going to take a look at myself. And, you know, it'd be easier if I got rid of all these distractions. I got rid of all this other noise and other stuff. I'm going to shack up. I'm going to go to some monastery on a hill. It's going to be a great life, just me and God. Sweet. But that's not the life that God's called us to. No. See, the Bible tells us, rather, that we are to live in this world. We must become like Christ for this world. See, there is an implementation. We've accepted the invitation. We've accepted the fact that part of that looks like changing us from the inside, but there is also the need to take that to the outside, to implement the change into the world around us. Theologian Karl Barth is known for saying that we must hold the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. See, we go to Scripture to be corrected, to be changed, but we also have to be a part of our world. We can't ignore it or leave it behind. We have to be involved, playing a part in our community. It says this in Romans 12, verses 4 to 8. For each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many members form one body, and each member belonging to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the thing. If we spend time with Jesus, we're going to look more like Jesus. How that's going to be expressed is going to be different, though. We can find this challenging when all of a sudden you see someone go out and show love to the person who's your neighbor. That's what we signed up for. Jesus says to love our neighbors. And it can be challenging when we see someone express their faith in a way that isn't how we do it, doesn't look the same. It can be challenging or it can actually be discouraging. Be like, man, they're really good at that. I guess I'm not needed. Man, I could never do that. All right, I guess I don't have a part to play in this. But we're not meant to look at each other. We're one body with many functions. So for us, it's about going, well, what's your function? What's your part to play in this story? Because there is a part for you and we need you to play it. Because truth is, there are people in your life, people you're going to have conversations with, friends you're going to have, people you're going to share life together with, break bread, have meals, create memories with, that I'm never going to see. I'm never going to be able to example to them the love of Christ, but you can. And likewise, your neighbor has people that you're never going to see, and they can example Christ to them. So let's encourage each other and not discourage each other for the ways in which we go out and share our faith, the ways in which we go out and share God's love to those around us. You know, we've got, even just seeing, there's a guy down here, his name is Caleb, and he is fantastic at all of this stuff behind the scenes. He's got a gift when it comes to doing lights. I get anxious. If I go behind and like see the sound desk or the lights, I just see all like these dials and knobs, and I'm like, is this flying a spaceship? It's crazy. But this guy's got a gifting for it. He's talented, and he's able to recognize that. And he offers it up to serve the Lord. And he's doing so even to the point where he's invited some of our younger guys in youth to be able to come and be trained up. So it's not just something that he's able to do and bless the church with, but he's able to have people who come after him. So what does it look like for you? What is it that you're gifted with? Well, I said this is a junior youth service, and I like to be a bit more interactive with our junior youth services. So I'd love to actually shake it up a little bit. You've heard enough of my voice. I want to get you guys involved. So are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask for some people in the room, and I want you to put your hands up. If this applies to the person next to you, give them a nudge on the shoulder or put your hand up and point them out. So you heard me before. I'm not very musically talented at all. I did my best. I didn't do Cat Stevens justice, and that's okay. We'll move on. But who of you is musical in the room? Put your hand up. Who plays an instrument? Who's got great vocals? I'm glad you've got your hand up, Matt. You do. Fantastic. Hey, you've got a gifting. I can't do what you do. So use it to serve. You can serve in the worship team, or better yet, why don't you form a band with those old high school mates you haven't chatted to in a while? Why don't you be the most humble musician they've ever met, the most encouraging? Be an example in that space. All right, who's up next? Who here is the kind of person who can talk all day long? Yeah? Yeah, yeah. You guys are raising those hands really slowly. Like, that's me. I know it. Yeah, wow, you guys, you definitely do. Awesome, fantastic. Well, you guys, that's a gift. That's a gifting. Your voice is a gift. So, after the service, don't just go up and have a chat with your friends. Look around. Who's unfamiliar to you? Who looks like you haven't seen them here before? Connect with them. Make them feel welcome. Introduce yourself. Who here? Where's my optimist? Where are the optimists in the room? Yes. Yes. Awesome. Great. For you, have an encouragement on your lips. Always be ready to give a genuine encouragement to those around you. Your perspective on life is a gift from God. So use it to build people up and be a light in community. Where are the sporty people in the room? Who's sporty? Who's like, hey, yep, the young guys are on it. Come on, awesome. If you're sporty, hey, serve the community. Become a coach. Be an example to young people. Who are the people who are passionate about justice, who get worked up about injustice in the world? Fantastic. Be involved with our community. There's a lot of need. Don't just focus on the distant and the far. What can we be doing locally? We're doing a fantastic work with DCC and the house. If you've got time, volunteer, help out there. If you live in a different area, find out what's going on in your suburb. Offer up your time to serve the people in need. All right, where are the people who don't like the spotlight? You don't have to put your hand up. If you do, you're probably lying. Great. If you don't like being in the spotlight, be generous with your time. Check in on your friends. There's spots like Caleb. He could use a friend helping him out with the lights. Serve on team. Chelsea, who was MC last week, she'd love it. She'd really appreciate it. There's a space for you. Where are the parents or the grandparents in the room? The dads, the moms? Being a parent is a gift that not everyone gets. Don't waste it. If there's anything else that you can do, be the best parent that you can be. Be an example of Christ to your children. Be an example of Christ to your grandchildren. Don't get caught up when there's different styles of parenting or the little things that get in the way of just showing love. So for each of us, there is a place, there is a gift, there is something that God has given you to be able to serve the community. And so what happens when we do all of this, when we accept the invitation, its implications, and we implement it into our life as it leads us to the outcome? The outcome of all of this. Because when we journey with God, when we're students to him, we become like him. It's expressed uniquely through who he has made us to be. I'd love to invite the band up to join me now. Because this is what really unites us. See, we're all a mixed bag of train wrecks in here, saved by grace. We all need Jesus. And that's what unites us. And we all are moving towards looking like Christ, becoming like Christ. And so this is what Paul writes when he's encouraging the Romans to do this. He says this, be like Christ, be like this. In Romans 12, verses 9 to 20. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Don't be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. He is the one who is just. If you trust that He is just, leave it to Him. Instead, as it is written, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. By doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. And this final line that finishes up Romans for us. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is who we're called to be. This is our part to play in the story. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome the evil, the wildness, the craziness of the world. Overcome it by doing what is good. And there's a joy that comes with it. There's a joy that comes when you know your gifting, when you know your place and you're able to serve. I was able to see this joy in our youth. Earlier this year, we did a winter night market as part of our vision offering. And for the parents in the room, it was probably your money that they were giving. But these kids, what they did is each life group formed together and they put together these stalls of baked goods or treats or... Tilly, what did your group do? Was it they played a game of ping pong or something like that? And how about for your boys, Sam? Donuts and churros, which is impressive because all the girls had these really fantastic stalls and a lot of the guys kind of rocked up and were like, what can we string together last minute? But there was a joy in the atmosphere because there's a joy when you're able to take what you have to give and you're able to offer it for the sake of other people, for the sake of being a light in our community. There's a joy to serving. Imagine a world like what Paul describes. Imagine a world where we live like this. When we're slow, when we show honour to those around us, when we pursue being hospitable and loving to strangers, when we seek to bless those who curse us, we celebrate other people's wins with them, we share tears with those who are in ruin. When you do your best to understand one another, means not just rejecting someone because of their views, but instead seeking to converse with them, to understand that person. Don't think so highly of yourself and your understanding of things, but being willing to lower ourselves down so that we can serve those around us. Imagine a world where everyone was radically generous and authentically humble. That's a world with beauty in it. That's a world that, despite the wildness, God's able to do something good. God's able to restore it, turn it around. Because that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we sing to. That's the God that we praise. I want to invite you, as we're thinking about this Lord, our Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to stand. And we're going to sing that same song we were singing this morning. Because the truth is, God came. He saw the problems of the world. He saw what was going on. And He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. As it said in the lyrics that we were singing earlier this morning, He's proven His love for us. He didn't neglect us. He didn't abandon us. He loves us so much so that He was willing to die for us. And He's not dead anymore. This is the good news. This is what Paul's writing about in Romans. He lives. He lives and in him we can find life as well. So would you join me as we sing this morning, as we lift up a shout of praise to the God that we get to serve, the God who is active and alive in our community. Let's sing.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.